أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our imam, please recite the salawat. For his health and well-being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him, recite the second one even louder. And for each and every one of us to become his soldiers, his companions, recite the third one even louder. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام. Tonight is the night of Ashura, brothers and sisters, the night of grievance, the night of sorrow. This is the last night that our beloved Imam and his companions were with their families. They spent in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We express our condolences to our beloved Imam al-Hujjah Hajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif, that according to the report about his words in regards to his grandfather Imam al-Husayn, that I will cry for you instead of tears, blood. We express our condolences to our Imam. Recite the salawat. One of the lessons that we learn from all of the Ahlul Bayt, from all of our Imams, when we go for their ziyarah, we read this in every one of their ziyarat. It's a very important lesson. One of the lines we read, and I'm sure every one of you have heard Ziyaratul Warith, this is in there. There's other ziyarat as well that have this in them. That we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَيْتَ الزَّكَاةِ. In some of them, وَأَمَرْتَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَيْتَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And says, وَجَاهَدْتَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ حَتَّى أَتَاكَ الْيَقِينِ. This yaqeen that is referred to in this ziyarah is the one that the verse of the Holy Quran talks about. It refers to death. I testify, I bear witness that you have upheld the prayer, you've given zakat, you've done amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar, and you have strived in the way of Allah, the way it was appropriate. حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ حَتَّى أَتَاكَ الْيَقِينِ. Until death. Perseverance, brothers and sisters. Every single one of the Imams teaches us this lesson, but we know the Imam that we are commemorating his shahada on this night is the greatest symbol of perseverance. one who went against all the odds to make sure the religion of his grandfather is kept alive. To filter all the filth that had been added on to the religion. Perseverance, brothers and sisters. This is a very important lesson for us to learn. The verse of the Holy Quran that says, "A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," in Surah Fussilat, verse 30. "Innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu 'alayhimul mala'ikatu alla takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun." The people that said and believed Allah is their Lord, but it didn't stay at that. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. I want to talk about this, perseverance a little bit. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels will come down to them. When you look at the tafsir of this verse, at least what some mufassirin say, is this coming down of the angels, that they say, "Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu," there's no fear and there's no grief anymore, there's no sorrow, there's no worries. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ is actually referring to these believers leaving this world. In other words, the perseverance is supposed to continue all the way until the last day of our lives. This is a lesson from Imam al-Hussein. It doesn't say, "Innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah." People who said we believe. The first step is to acknowledge the truth. The first step is to believe. The first step is to accept that Allah is our Lord. It is to accept the prophethood of our Prophet, the Imamah of the Ahlul Bayt. This is the first step, but it's not the last. Istaqam, perseverance. Being steadfast on the path. This is the difficult part, brothers and sisters. We've always had trouble on this part. Let me read a few of the verses of the Holy Quran. I was trying to think how I should present this topic on the night of Ashura, to try to present it in a way that it deserves. I thought one of the best ways that we could do it is with Suratul Ahzab. Suratul Ahzab, which I'm sure you all know of, the verse of Tathir is in this surah. The name of the surah is Ahzab. For those who haven't thought of or read about why that is, Ahzab refers to the battle of Ahzab. The beginning of verses of the surah talk about the battle of Ahzab, which the other name, which some of us know it by, is the battle of Khandaq. The battle of Ahzab was probably the most difficult battle that our Holy Prophet and his companions had to fight. Prior to this battle, they had two other major battles. One was the battle of Badr, which they won, they were victorious. The second battle they fought was the battle of Uhud, which they weren't victorious. Because of the love of the dunya, we had the chance a few weeks ago, to go and visit that area. It's a pretty small area. It wouldn't have taken much to win that battle. But because of the love of the dunya, not being able to see that maybe some of my brothers are going to get more, maybe. Because the Prophet was going to distribute afterwards. They couldn't stand that. They went down from that little hill and they lost the battle because of that. But the next one was the Battle of Ahzab. Ahzab is the plural of Hizb. All the parties that were against the Muslims gathered to finish off Islam, the Holy Prophet and his companions once and for all. They gathered everybody. They all came to Medina. They had spoken to some of the Jewish tribes, Banu Qurayza in particular, so that they become the enemies of the Holy Prophet from the other side. Let me read you the verses. This part of it starts in verse number 9. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنودا فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. Remember the blessing of Allah. An army came to you, we helped you out. How? With rih, with the wind. We'll explain what that is. And with an army that you did not see. The angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the believers with the angels. In this battle and in some of the other battles. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Allah sees what you do. Then he starts to describe this battle itself. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. In the previous battles, brothers and sisters, you must have heard, the numbers of the Muslims was always less than that of the Kuffar in the battles. In the battle of Badr, however, they were victorious. This battle was much more difficult that it wasn't even worth, it wasn't even possible to go and begin and engage in battle with them. The Holy Prophet and his companions had a session to discuss what they're going to do to deal with the kuffar in this battle. And the conclusion was, there's no way, we don't stand a chance, let's dig a trench. A khandaq. To prevent them from coming in. The numbers were more in amongst the kuffar in all the battles, but this shows the ratio here. The numbers are so great on the side of the kuffar that the believers are not going to stand a chance. They stood behind the trench. It says, مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. From the bottom they came. You know, Mecca is south of Medina. From the bottom they came and from above you, the Jews. The Jews from above, the kuffar coming from below. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ. Your eyes were not seeing properly and your hearts, referring to the soul, had reached your throats. In other words, it's describing a muhdath, muhtadir, someone that is about to leave this world. The circumstances were so fearful and so fierce that it's saying, it's as though, how does a person who's dying, how do you picture that usually? Okay, a person that doesn't believe in all of that, there's a lot of fear that we have in that state. So that state is like the state of the muhtadir. The eyes don't see it properly and it's as though the soul has reached the throat and it wants to leave. The believers have to stand behind the trench and protect by just staying there and every now and then coming out from behind where they are hiding, maybe throwing a little arrow or something. They were sometimes not able to move for hours, sometimes a day, sometimes maybe a couple of days. It was very serious.
This went on for almost a month. What we have from the picture of the Battle of Khandaq, usually, brothers and sisters, is the idea of Amir al-Mu'mineen fighting Ibn Abdawad, and the battle is finished. That's the end of it. That's the last bit. That's not the difficult part, or the most difficult part. One whole month of the kuffar being there in front of you, and the Jews, the fear of when are they going to cross over? When are the Jews going to come down from the other side and attack us, and we're going to lose the battle? It says the circumstances were so severe. It says, وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. People started to shake up. Their religion, their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started getting weak. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. This is where the believers were tested. I'm going to work with this word, ibtila, and test a little later on. زُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. They were shaken very severely. They felt it. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. The word munafiq has been used in the verses of the Holy Quran, I think, quite frequently. We've heard that word before. In Surah Baqarah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning describes the believers in a few verses, then the kuffar in a verse or two, then a number of verses, over 10 verses, describing the munafiqeen. But what is meant by munafiqeen in this verse is different. Munafiq in those verses is someone that knows from the beginning they never believed. Abu Sufyan is a very clear example of that. They never actually believed. They always only portrayed themselves as believers. They spoke as though they believed, but they never actually believed. They never had that in their hearts, even for a day, some of them. But the munafiq that is described here is not that. The munafiq in this verse is referring to the believers that were weak in faith. In these tough circumstances, they started saying that مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the people something. What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is the one that sent His prophets, أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْحَقِّ بِدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. This religion is supposed to take over the globe. This is what the believers were told. Now they're saying, when they are being put under pressure, when they're feeling the crunch, they start to say, what happened? They started to say that this promise of Allah and the Prophet is not true. This is what we do, brothers and sisters. We're not able to persevere when hardship comes. Recite salawat. The following verse says, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبْ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا. Some of the enemy started telling the people of Medina, Ya Ahla Yathrib. Yathrib is the previous name of Medina, prior to the Prophet coming there. La muqama lakum. You guys are not going to be able to stand. Go back. This is the disbelievers, the kuffar, the enemy. It says, وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ النبي يقولون إن بيوتنا عورة وما هي بعورة. They started finding excuses to leave.
Our homes need protection. Our families need protection. We need to go. It says, وَمَا هِيَ بِحَوْلَةٍ. That's not a reality. They were just saying that to free themselves. Brothers and sisters, perseverance is an important part of our lives as individuals and as a society. Let me talk about it from the social perspective. This is one example that we just gave. This example that the verses of the Holy Quran talk about, the believers had to withstand and forbear the problem, the difficulties for 1 month. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually, He started these verses by telling them, remember the blessing that Allah gave you. This is after the problems are over. Only for a month. The month was over. The problems were over. During the lifespan of the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped through the believers. The message of the Holy Prophet spread. Overall, we say the Prophet was victorious. But that didn't continue. During the time of Amirul Mu'mineen, Salamullah Alayh, the problem he faced when he began to rule was that the people that came to his door requesting him to rule, requesting his justice and saying we are fed up with the injustices, they weren't able to bear the burden. It's not going to be easy. Changing it is not going to be easy. Are you going to be able to take it? This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen told them. He said, look, if you guys actually go to someone else and I am only an advisor to the Khalifa, it'll be better for you and better for me. I said, no, we want you. They're hinting and signing and signaling to me that apparently there's a need to move a little to this side. If the brothers recite a salawat and move. The problem, Amir al-Mu'min, you said a salawat please again. The problem Amir al-Mu'mineen faced was the people who pledged, they begged him, and he said, look, are you sure you want the justice of Ali? He said, yes. He said, look, I'm not going to let things remain the way they are. I'm not going to be abiding by any tradition that is other than the tradition of the Holy Prophet. If Baytul Mal, the property of the Muslimin, has been distributed in an unjust way, I'm going to take it back no matter where it is and what has happened to it. And who's holding on to it? I'm going to get it back. They said, oh, we want that. But the society was not able to forbear. It took only 5 years. Only 5 years for the people to give up. First battle was fought, the battle of Jamal. Okay, alhamdulillah, we were victorious. Second battle, in the battle of Siffin, people got tired of it. That's one of the reasons why the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen lost. There was a plot at the end. They tricked the believers. But one of the reasons that that worked was because they were tired. When Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted to go and attack Muawiyah again, the people didn't want to go with him. The problems that it had caused, the wars that Amir al-Mu'mineen had caused them to fight, it took a toll. People lost their lives. People lost, families lost support. Their husbands were gone. Their brothers were gone. Their fathers were gone. They weren't able to forbear. Most of us, brothers and sisters, don't seem to be currently in a position that is similar to theirs. But this is not necessarily going to remain this way, especially considering the coming of the Imam. I've spoken about this and you must have heard about this on multiple occasions. I'm just reminding you. Every time you look at the ahadith about the coming of the Imam, it's kind of a splash of cold water, you know, reality. The myth that the Imam is going to come and everything's going to be okay is a myth. As soon as he comes, everything's going to work out. No, that's not going to happen. There's a list of hadith. There's actually a chapter in the book of Ghaiba of Nu'mani that talks about what the Imam will face. The chapter is from his Ahlul Bayt and his followers. When you look at the ahadith, some of them, the wording is this. It says, when the Imam of our time comes, the problems he will face are going to be more difficult than that of the Holy Prophet. Well, the Holy Prophet has been said that he is the Prophet that faced the most difficulty out of all the Prophets. The Hadith says the problems that the Imam will face are even more severe. How is that? The Imam explains. Imam says, because the people that the Holy Prophet had to deal with were in the time of the Jahiliyyah. They didn't have any knowledge. They didn't know anything. But the people that the Imam of our time has got to deal with are going to be reciting verses of the Quran and interpreting it their way against the Imam. These are going to be the enemies of the Imam. According to these, there's a list of them. It's not only one. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be problems. Some of the Muslim Ummah is currently facing these problems. In the occupied lands, people are facing these issues. In Lebanon, they are facing them. In other regions, they are facing them. And to an extent, we are facing it here, I think, but we just don't realize it. That's the social aspect. And the personal aspect is the idea that the Holy Prophet told all of the believers when they were coming back from the battle. That he greeted them by telling them, look, my greetings to you, the people who are coming back from the minor jihad. And I hope you do good in the major jihad, Jihadul Akbar. I want to talk about this a little bit. First principle is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us on multiple occasions in the Holy Quran. One of them being Surah Baqarah verse 214. That look, it is not the case that you look for pleasure and comfort in this life. That shouldn't be your goal. Your goal cannot be pleasure in this life. That cannot. We can have that on the side. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not saying you need to avoid that. But that being the goal is wrong. Expecting that you're not going to face difficulty in life is wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give you difficulty. In Surah Baqarah verse 214, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. You think you're going to be entering paradise and what happened to the previous nations is not going to happen to you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. They were tested. They went through difficulties and tough times to the extent that not only the believers, the difficulty was such that the prophets and the believers were asking, where is the help of Allah? When the people ask, where is that? That's kind of understandable. We just talked about the verses of Surah Ahzab. The Holy Prophet wasn't asking about where is Nasrullah. He wasn't having problems. But this verse says, sometimes it was so difficult, the prophets with the believers said, Mata Nasrullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Mulk verse 2 says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The objective of this life isn't comfort. That's not the goal. You're not going to be getting that, no matter who you are. There is going to be difficulty, especially if you want to do the right thing. We have hadith that says, the people that are going to face the most bala and difficulty are the prophets. And after that, those that are most similar to the prophets. The better you get, the better a person you are, the more difficulty you're going to be facing. It's been quoted some of the ulama, when life would be going too smoothly, they're not facing any difficulty, they will go to sajda, face the qibla, cry to Allah, am I one of those that you've left me to myself? Have I kind of started drifting away from the path? Because one of the signs of being steadfast on the path, continuing, persevering, is that you're going to be facing difficulties. Recite the salawat. So what do? We want to persevere. What is the prescription given in the verses of the Holy Quran? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 153 and the following verses after that, talks about this. Surah Baqarah is the first verse, the verse surah that was revealed to the Holy Prophet in Medina. It starts to talk about the believers and the munafiqeen, as we said. This is where the first time the Holy Prophet really starts dealing with munafiqeen. And then afterwards it talks about the Jews. There's many stories quoted there. The reason is, the Holy Prophet has come to Medina. The Jews are in Medina. They're making a lot of problems, creating a lot of problems for the believers. So these verses start to address the Jews. Afterwards, what we see happening in Medina is the battles start to begin. Before the battles begin, the verses prepare the believers. Battles are very clear examples of difficulty. It's more difficult than just the regular life that the believers were facing. In preparing them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Seek help. إِسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ. Or إِسْتَعِينُوا. When you want to seek help, what do? two things. بالصبر والصلاة. Similar words are used in two other verses of the Holy Quran as well. Seek help using patience, sabr, and salah. These are two main components, brothers and sisters, to be able to persevere.
Recite salawat.
Patience, the first one, brothers and sisters. What we are facing here, first and foremost, is our individual lives. Before getting to the social aspect, as a community, as individuals, brothers and sisters, we are facing difficulty in remaining on the path and maintaining faith practically. This idea of constantly committing sin, sometimes repenting, this is not ideal. This is not what Islam asks for. This is not what we're supposed to become. This is not a true companion of the Imams. Every time we commit a sin, that is, although we don't have this in our heart, but according to Hadith, that is expressing a form of animosity towards the Imam. This is not being a companion of the Imam. Persevering means in a personal life, at a personal level, is that we don't commit sins. There's a hadith about patience. It says there's two, as-sabr sabran, there's two forms of patience. Sabrun ala al-musiba hasanun jameel. Patience when you're faced with a calamity, when you lose a loved one. But the second form of patience is the more important one. And that is ala ma harram Allah. When Allah has made something haram, being able to be patient and not towards that haram. Patience is important, brothers and sisters. Patience means when you have something that is not under your control, that is making it difficult to do what is right, you are patient and you continue doing what is right. You don't give in basically to the difficulty. This is patience. If you want to give an example, if you're driving on the road and you hit traffic, patience isn't to make a U-turn and go back. Patience is, okay, I can't control the traffic. I'm either going to find another way to go or I'm going to stay there until I can find my way through. You want to continue going. Not let the obstacles keep us away from our destination. As individuals, brothers and sisters, we've got to make sure we do this. We've got to be patient. Especially for the youth. One of the things that the youth face, there's a lot of pressure here in being able to maintain religion because there's call for sin from every direction. It's difficult. It's very difficult. You've got to be patient. Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. The second part of it is salah, brothers and sisters. Salah, according to another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Musa, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. The point in salah is remembrance of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verses of the Holy Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. We've got to have a connection with Allah. In difficulties, when you don't see a way out, when you have problems, when it's difficult to practice, when everyone around us is calling us towards sin, I turn on my computer, I go online, everything is calling me to sin. We've got to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg His mercy. He will give you tranquility. He will give you what you want. He will open a path for you. We have a verse of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Talaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah is going to always open up a door for you that you don't have to continue facing the difficulties that you are in order to stay away from sin. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah is going to open up doors. After hardship, there's ease. Remembrance of Allah, brothers and sisters, is very important. When you look at the people that in our time are or have become symbols and icons of perseverance, we see their strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, very strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have heard this story about Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. There's a guard at his door, to guard his door, make sure nobody goes in, that has got to remain there even during the night. There's one specifically for the night time. One time I'd gone to Jamaran, the Husayniya of Imam Khomeini, and I had the pleasure and the blessing to meet this brother. He told the story and I asked him, was it actually you that experienced it? He said, yes, it was me. And he said this. He said, one night I was guarding the door. The Imam wakes up. He had a very routine schedule. Okay, he was very organized. Every night, a certain time, he had to get up and start his night prayers and aman, in connection with the Lord. He says, that night, I could hear the cry of the Imam. See, the way these people connect with Allah, speak to Him, they feel their need of Allah. They beg Allah for help. Not like us, we say our dhikr, and it's just, you know, just the lips moving. We don't even understand the meaning, much less understanding it, thinking about it, and really saying it from the heart, much less shedding a little bit of tears, or even any of that. He said, I could hear the cry of the Imam. I started crying, he said, from that. It caused me to start crying. He said that night, Imam Khomeini cried so much, he says for his night time, and others have said this as well, others who've had experience with the Imam, he had a towel to dry only the tears during his night prayers and before the Fajr time. A towel, because regular cloth is not enough to absorb all the moisture. That night, he said, the towel got soaking wet. He had to come and change it. This is how a person like that can persevere. Amirul Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayh, the champion of perseverance. I was going to say this at the beginning. I don't have time to explain this any further. But sometimes I wonder, was the perseverance of Imam al-Husayn more, or what Amir al-Mu'mineen had to go through during the time of the Prophet, right after the Prophet passed away, during the time of the Khulafa, during the time of his rule? And when you look at him, the du'as that you have from Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's interesting. You know, Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayhi is known as Zainul Abideen. Recite the salawat. There's one account that one of the companions of the Imam comes and tells him, why is it, or how is it you can worship so much? Very long sujood, du'as, you have Sahifa Sajjadiyah, you have all of that. They came and told him, how can you do that? The Imam told him, he said, you think this is a lot? Allah, Allah, Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. Look at this dua al-Kumail, the dua that he taught Kumail ibn Ziyad, and the other duas that he had. He used to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In hardships, brothers and sisters, which Allah gives you to increase your faith. That's the reason why He gives you that. Because He tests you with those difficulties. And that difficulty and that test is to raise your status of faith. This is a blessing. When He gives that to you, the way to improve and to increase your faith, and to get out of that hardship, having increased your faith, is by connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah. There's verses of the Holy Quran that say sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we forget Him so much. Sometimes He gives us trouble intentionally to make us plead to Him. لِيَتَضَرَّعُ تَضَرُّعُ is what is important for us. تَضَرُّعُ is what Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi and his companions were doing tonight. They asked for one extra night. This is a night that they are awaiting nothing but shahada. Nothing but the swords to come. Nothing but thirst in the morning. Nothing but watching the women and children preparing themselves. Imam al-Husayn watching. It's too sad to say, the Imam was alive when they attacked his camp. The Imam was alive when they attacked his camp. This is what they're waiting for. And tonight they do tadarru. Sallallahu alaykum. Ya ahl bayt. وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Ahlul Bayt. It was in your homes that the angels brought down the revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels used to come down and seek your permission. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. صلى الله عليك أيها المظلوم. صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn.
My beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam of mine that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. Sallallahu alayhi. Brothers and sisters, the night of Ashura has come. The night of sorrow and grief has come. I wish tonight could extend, and the morning would have never come. What is awaiting for our Imam? What is awaiting Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? What is awaiting Ali al-Akbar? What is awaiting Qasim? What is awaiting Sukaina? What is awaiting the Lady Zainab? Just imagine your Imam spending the last night with his children. My beloved Sukaina, let me see you again. Zainab, keeping close to the Imam. My beloved brother, you're the last remaining of my family. I watched my mother between the door and the wall. I watched my father come home while his head was bleeding. I saw my brother Imam al-Mujtaba coughing up blood. Ya Hazel, Ya Ukhaya, I have one last night. I want to see you. But on the day of Ashura, brothers and sisters, the companions one by one went to the battlefield. After the companions, Banu Hashim started going. Ali al-Akbar went. Qasim went. Aun and Muhammad went. The brothers of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas went. But there came a time on the day of Ashura, your Imam stood alone. He looked to the right and to the left. Where's Abbas? Where's Ali and al-Akbar? He called, is there anyone to help me? هل من ناصر لينصرني? While the Imam made this call, there's one last soldier that the Imam has. This last soldier of the Imam is too young to carry a sword, is too young to carry anything to fight the enemy. He just fights the enemy with his presence in the arms of Abi Abdullah. The last soldier is Abdullah al-Radi, also known as Ali al-Asghar.
صلى الله عليك يا مولاي. How cruel could they be to you, my beloved Imam? The thirst you could imagine this infant has, the mother not having any milk to give the infant, there being no water to give to the infant. Some reports say he was yatalazza atasha. Yatalazza is the way a fish that is brought out of water acts, calling for water with the way his mouth moves. The Imam, according to reports, takes him hoping to get some mercy. Oh people, if you think I deserve to be killed, this infant has no sin. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي. How much water would have Ali and Al-Asghar wanted? But the Imam asked for water according to the reports. They call upon Harmala. Harmala can throw arrows very well. They ask him, Harmala, why don't you do something? He asks, who should I take, the father or the infant? They say, you see that white spot beneath the head of Ali and Al-Asghar. Your Imam is standing holding Ali and Al-Asghar. He feels the child shaking very severely. He brings out Ali and Al-Asghar to see the blood. Ya Allah, accept this.
Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu wa ayya munqalabin yunqalibun. As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdillah, wa ala al-arwaah allati khallat bifinaik, alayka minni salamu allahi أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بدم المظلوم بدم المظلوم بدم المظلوم بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك على محبة أوليائك. Oh Allah, we ask you on this night, the night of Ashura, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of Imam al-Hassan, by the right of the Shuhada in Karbala, that you hasten the return of our Imam. O Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that you enable us to become the close companions of our Imam. O Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that you prolong the life of and give good health to all of our Maraja and especially the leader. O Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that you forgive us all of our sins. O Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that you forgive our parents and all those who've taught us the word in Islam of their sins. O Allah, we all have needs. We all need your help in different ways. In our personal lives, the hajat that we have, the needs that we have. Some of us have got ill family members. We all need your help. We ask you by the right of Imam al-Hassan that you give us what we need. O Allah, there's a lot of people under oppression and hardship. By the right of the Imam, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, we ask you to relieve them all of oppression and hardship. للنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.